Hello, Sunday night is here again, and this is George Watkins. Thank you for stopping by to our Sunday night blessing time. I look forward to this special edition that we do on Sunday night, and will continue until I hear the Father turn the page. So far, he hasn't done that. Tonight, I want to talk about dreams and visions again. It seems to be an ongoing theme that the Lord pokes me with, pushes me into, encourages me by, and I want to talk about that a little bit tonight to encourage your life also. Before we do that, thank you for subscribing. Give us a thumbs up and all those things that make it work. I'm really suspicious about YouTube. YouTube seems to be choking off some of our advancement. I need to look into it. Pray with me about that, will you? We've been on almost 4 years and over 1,000 videos, and yet YouTube still chokes us down to just a handful of viewers. I don't think that's normal, so we're going to find some outlets. There's some new outlets that are very friendly toward Christian outreaches and etc. So we'll look into that. But that's a good prayer request for you, if you would do that. I believe we need to have our message out on more, into more homes and into more lives. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to talk tonight about dreams. The interesting, the way I get and the way I got this one is the same as I get all of my titles, and that is God drops it in my spirit or I hear it. Sometimes I'll see something or I'll see a phrase. I can often see pictures that are interpreted as something, and sometimes I'll see words. Most of the time it drops into my thinking, I recognize a phrase. Well, I've been going through a series of dreams lately, and this tagline that I'm giving today kind of describes my journey. And if we have some time tonight, I trust that I'll be able to share some of those journeys with you. But first of all, I'll give you some scriptural basis for the term night vision. I want to talk about the dream album and roadmap. I have discovered, now I've been dreaming a long time, as you can see. I've been dreaming a lot of years. Even in my youth, dreams were a part of my life. It wasn't until I developed my spiritual sensitivity and my understanding of things that I knew the purpose or even why they were given to us or to me in particular. Well, the journey I've been on has given me these two things, dream album and roadmap. Now, because of that, this thought comes out of the fact that when I have a night vision or a dream, there are familiar surroundings always. Now, in my dreams, I have purchased houses. I have built houses. I have been in neighborhoods that I go to often. I am in familiar surroundings most of the time that I go in and out of something. The cities I go into, I've been there before. They're not cities that I've known in the natural, but they're cities and places that I've been in my spiritual dream life. So the dream life then has become a dream album where I can go into a place and I can recapture or revisit places. There's a couple of strange occasions that I do when I revisit a certain housing or a neighborhood. And in that neighborhood, I had purchased a couple of houses, and one of them was three stories high with a basement. And it was in total disrepair. absolute, just sitting there ready to fall down. And I bought it in my dream and restored it. I'd go back again and again. Some of my dreams, I'd do some more work and so forth. Now, I didn't consider this to be a spiritual activity. I didn't consider it like a message or a direction, but it was kind of just the journey of my dream life. Now, what this does to you when this happens is it's a muscle, and it exercises your ability to discern the dream purpose and the dream direction. Now, as I reconstructed this house, physical work and sometimes help, I had a number of different things happen that in the court, now this has been over a period of several years, in the course of time, there were messages for that particular thing that happened as I was working on the house. Someone came in, or I asked someone to help. I remember at one occasion we were painting the outside, and there was someone that was working with me, and God gave me a message. God gave me some insight and so forth for that person. Now, sounds kind of weird, strange, and if you haven't been there or done that, it seems odd. But I'm convinced in my journey that it's part of the channel of messengers and messages that come my way. Now, when I talk about albums, dream albums, that's a reference to a picture album, I think, where you could flip a page and you could go back to a site, a spot where you lived or remember, or grandma's house, so forth. That would be a picture album. This dream album is that I quite often visit churches that I've ministered to and places I've pastored. And there's three particular churches that I go to over and over and over. And when I go there, there's a particular thing that happens in each of those churches. One of them I was raised up in as a boy. It was our headquarter church in Long Beach, California. As another one I repeat is when I was a late teenager, early 20s, I worked with my father in Portland. That was the second one. And of course, the third one would be the one that I spent 30 years in here in town in Mount Vernon. When I go there, there's things that happen. There's that I awake. I when I wake up or come to myself, I have a purpose for being there. Now, when I go into these areas, these dreams, I interact and meet people that I have had in my lifetime. Now, you know, I've talked some about the cloud of witnesses. I've talked about that cloud of witnesses, those people that have gone on before, that have not finished their course, but they are involved in our life to help us finish our course because it finishes their course. We've done some videos on that. I'm not going to get too deep into that, but that would be the purpose of having a reoccurrence with someone that you have interacted with in life to fulfill. Now, the anointing, passion, direction, hunger, all those things you carry in your life are the things God put in you as a DNA, his DNA, his anointing. We call it the desire of the Lord. He put that in your life. I have always had a desire for a certain bent, a certain direction, a certain hunger in the gospel. I was not an academic scholar. I didn't desire to have 14 or 15 different degrees. I finally got my doctorate it was in my 50s or somewhere, just because it was something that I accumulated, studied. We had 10 years of Bible school, or we had actually 20, but the 10 years that counted toward my doctorate. And so that's how that happened. But I was not called to be a professor or a teacher. I was called to be a trailblazer, a trail breaker. I was called to be a visionary. I was called to be an evangelist, where he goes out and just rings the bell. And then God shifted me into the apostolic, where I built and had government, so forth. So because of that, that would be the people in my life that motivated and taught me and trained me and mentored me and nurtured me. They would be the ones that would come and go out of my dream album, wouldn't they? That would make sense. And they do. So when someone comes in, it's usually someone that had an interaction with me. Often, not every time. Sometimes I'll have someone in one of my dreams and they stand in the background and never say a word. But when I see them, I remember the word they gave me when they were on this earth. I wake up with that remembrance. I wake up with the interchange that they gave me. One particular man that's been showing up as of late, I haven't seen him for a while, was Fred Hall. Now, he was a man that was in my father's life. He was my father's peer, or not peer, but, you know, they ran together as young pastors and preachers. But as I grew up, he became a mentor to me. And in several occasions, in particular important occasions, he guided and gave me input and gave me wisdom that kept me on track of where I was going. He was a prayer warrior, an intercessor. When I would preach for him in Washington, D.C., we would lay on the floor together in the theater downtown Washington, D.C., that they owned. They owned the theater. And, you know, the odd nights when no one was there, just the two of us, laying in a semi-dark room, praying and interceding. That intercession and that spirit of prayer was given to me and encouraged in me and nurtured in me by that man of God. Now, my father was a mentor, and he is often in my dreams. And we interchange, we talk. Sometimes I'll listen to him preach, so forth. Okay, enough of that. The revelation that I have had for the last years, and I couldn't say how long because it's been a big chunk of them, some of the things that I've taught, and what happens is God gives a nugget, and then you follow it out in your journey in investigation and study and meditation and Bible research and, you know, Holy Ghost help. And it begins to develop, but it usually starts for me in the roadmap God gives me in my night visions. One of the most repetitive in the last months and maybe years that you've heard about is my courthouse. My courthouse came to me in a dream. I was cruising down the road in my automobile, probably a classic hot rod. If you know me, you know my love for classic cars. Okay. And I was, I looked to my right, and there was a park setting, you know, city park, where the trees and the tables and so forth, and grass. In the middle of that park was an 1880 era courthouse, you know, the architecture and all that, empty, neglected, vandalized. I woke up and I said, "Father, what did that mean to me?" And he said, "I want you to go back to that courthouse and I want you to repair it." Now, I did that in not in dreams. Now I did it in meditation and spending time in the spirit, in the presence of the Lord. And I could see it, I could taste it, I could feel it. It was there, I was there. And over a period of time, I restored that courthouse, new windows, paint, you know, broken things. And then I occupied. And in that occupation, I went into the courthouse with my company of angels, and we occupied that house. Now, what in the world would that say to me or to anyone Why would God do that? I mean, just open the Bible and read a scripture. What do you need dreams for? Well, you'll find in the scriptures in Genesis 46, God spoke to Israel one of the first times in a night vision and told him what to do, told him to go do something, you know, gave him direction. We say he didn't have a Bible. Okay, I grant you, they didn't have a paper book in the hand that they could turn to page 14 and read, but they had a God that spoke to them in night visions and he obeyed it. Job is a the old joke, you know, if you're a new Christian, you call it Job, but it's really Job. And it's the first book ever written. It's the earliest book of the historical biblical things. And he met God. God talked to him in visions. Job 4 says, "Now a thing was secretly brought to me in thoughts from the vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men and women, but no, Bible calls it men. So Job 33 says, "In a dream, vision of the night, he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions." So Job's full of that, you see. So God interacting, Daniel, the great Daniel, the prophet in the Old Testament, some of his prophecies are one of our, you know, more familiar ones, and certainly ones people use all the time. He got those in night visions, when God showed up in the night and talked to him, and he talked to God. I love now Zechariah. This is one of my favorite settings, Zechariah 1 and 8. He opens up with a night vision, and he goes through several chapters in that same night vision. And in that, he actually ends up in the throne with Joseph and gives permission for a new turban and robe to God. That's all in that dream in the night vision. Real stuff, folks. It's biblical stuff. Amen. So I'm just encouraging you in my disclosure here, some personal notes, the things that God has entered into my life with. And so much of my revelation for prophetic things, when I come to a meeting, when I'm going into a church to preach and minister for a day or a week, God gives me a word, and it comes often in the middle of the night in a night vision. Now, if that's not the case, it comes just in that breaking out of sleep into waking. If you'll be sensitive, you'll get much of your insight, or you'll get that word from the Lord right there. And it's just a tender time when you're coming out of that dream setting or that sleep setting into consciousness. There's a place in there that God seems to be able to penetrate your little brain, you know, your thinking and your hearing. If not, he'll put you to sleep. No, he put Adam to sleep. I told you this a few weeks ago. He put Adam to sleep so he could bring Eve out of his rib and create her. I jokingly said he put Adam to sleep because he didn't want Adam fouling it up by his opinions. I don't know what he would have created. If he wanted to say God comes along to the modern man, you know, there was never a woman, and said, "We're going to build a woman. What do you want it like?" "Well, let's give it, you know, look, I want a hot rod. I want a motorcycle." Come on. No. This is a little humor, if you haven't noticed. But put him to sleep. So sleeping, putting people to sleep, is somewhat of a primary way that God ministers and deals and alters our life. I love in Zechariah 1, if you haven't been there, go there and just do a little meditation. 4 or 5 times, he says, I looked and I saw. I lifted my eyes. I saw in the night. I lifted up my eyes. There's an action of faith, even in your crazy dreams, you know, the crazy night visions. There's an action of faith. If you'll be sensitive in that time, you'll know you're in a special time. Now, this is a muscle. There's creative things that have to happen in your own consciousness and your own spiritual ability to receive. I was talking the other day, with one of my dear close compadres in the gospel. We worked together on several levels. I made the comment about revelation can only come to the container that's big enough to receive it, because God, Jesus, does not waste one little piece of bread or fish. When he fed the, you'd think now, if it was me creating, I'd just create until there were piles of bread and fish all over the place, and that crowd could pack them home and have lunch the next day. But no, not so. He created enough to feed them, and when he got through with that, he said, disciples, go out and collect the remnant, and they came back with 12 basketfuls. Okay. The point being is that God's not going to give revelation to be wasted. He's not going to put a giant download in a pea brain. I wasn't talking about you now. I was talking about that other guy that has a pea brain. But he's not going to do it. He's going to download onto a basket. And the basket is what we call believing faith. If you believe, you shall receive. That's pretty much of a standard quotation in the interchange that Jesus has and had with us and still has with us. If you believe this, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth shall be, you know, healed and so forth. So believing seems to be the mechanism to enlarge the container of understanding and revelation. If you've got your hands ringing right now and you've got your arms crossed and you've already blocked out some of what I'm saying because of the old traditions that you have heard, and maybe a pastor told you that, or a spiritual, you know, mentor told you that dreams are foolish, it's just pizza, you're missing a lot of journey in the Lord and adventure. Hallelujah. I encourage you, in every one of your lives, there's a dream album and a roadmap. Now, this roadmap for me, as I continue to express some of these thoughts, the roadmap for me is an ongoing thing that continues to be on the same journey. And I come again and again to certain cities, certain landscapes, certain peoples, and it becomes a roadmap for me. I know I'm in a dream of sorts when I hit that particular thing again. It's not just helter skelter or whatever comes, you know, shoot it in the dark. No, when I get in those veins, I know something's happening. Now, there have been more dreams than I can recall right now. I've cataloged quite a bit of them over the years that were for the moment, for a warning. I had a dream a number of years ago. A man came up to me in my sleep and looked me in the face, you know, like a foot away, opened his mouth, and in the mouth was a spider web and a spider. Whoa, kind of shook me. I think I might have bolted awake. Now, what did that mean to me? I said, Lord, what does that mean? He says, someone in your life now, this isn't for the future, has a deceptive voice, tongue, message. There's a spider in that thing, and it's a poison spider. So in that season of time, I had to be sensitive to what was inputted me, who was giving me advice, what kind of counsel I was receiving, had to have a sensitivity to the Holy Ghost to know if I was going to be deceived by even a close friend. Now, those are the type of dreams that God warns us in. Remember Joseph, Jesus' stepfather. He said he was warned in a dream to get up and go to Egypt. Why? Because danger was coming. And he did that. He got up and left. So dreams can be for the moment. They can be for a lifestyle, you know, a lifelong style where you keep coming back. And like I've said, the dream album. But for the moment, God can give you insight and give you direction. I just think it's a wonderful thing to believe that God speaks to us in the night and gives us revelation that is important. And if we'll go to bed at night and just tell the Holy Ghost, I'm ready, let's game on, as they say, let's go for it. Whatever you got for me tonight, I'm in the game. Okay. Now, I say the game, it's not foolishness, but certainly is the thrill of the adventure and the purpose of the adventure. If you take emotions out of your Christian walk, you're a blank slate, because God gave us emotions to enjoy this adventure, the thrill of praying for the sick and seeing them recover, the joy of preaching until someone comes and receives Christ, the power of faith that changes the future and makes something shake and change. There's nothing like the trophy on your mantle when you have accomplished something by faith and by supernatural download of heaven, and you walked it out and you saw God come through. Amen. Now, I've been preaching. Wow. I'm having a birthday pretty soon. I'm in the dizzy section of the balcony now, where the air is thin. It's really true. I've been preaching a long time. And David said something that I said when I was a teenager, and it was kind of a joke. I got up one night as a teenager and repeated those verses. I've never seen the Lord forsake me, and so forth. Forget the exact quotation, but it was funny because I was only, 18 or 19. Well, I'm not that anymore, but I'm at the other end of the scale, and I have not seen the Lord forsake. I have not seen him forsake financially, protection, salvation in the sense of deliverance from harm and trouble. He's gone ahead of us. He's prepared the way. Amen. Has there been challenges? I'll show you my scars if you show me yours, that type of thing. Why? Because we're in the battle. And the battle has been won. We're just in the mop-up crew. We're just out there picking up the bringing in the sheaves, as they say. Hallelujah. Well, I've kind of wandered on along enough on the subject. I want to bring this to a close on this Sunday night. Kick it in gear. Believe that there's a realm that God wants to take you in that's out of your cognitive thinking and out of your brain that you're so brilliant, and out of the studies that you've done. Maybe you've been to, deep diving into the Word and so forth. Now, this is not extra biblical. It's there, but you just got to let God reveal it to you. Amen. What you don't know about God is in the Bible. You just haven't seen it yet. Well, praise God. Don't forget now, let's continue to pray for the expanse of this simple little broadcast I have. I believe it's important that God wants to enlarge it. And I'm praying about going on some other platforms that maybe will give us a little more room. It won't be shadow banning, as they say, or hiding us in the dark. And also, that helps with sharing, thumbs up, subscribing, all those things. And then if you have been nudged by the Lord to send us a financial gift, which helps us go down the road, right down there in PayPal, there's a place to punch a button, do that. Or you can use the snail mail. We still receive it. And several of you have been nudged to do that, and it is exceedingly helpful and a blessing, and we bless you back over and over again. Well, Monday morning, tomorrow morning, we will see you early, and we will jump into another exciting week of revelation in the nature of the Lord to us. Amen. Until tomorrow morning, be blessed. Have a good dream. Give God some opportunity to talk to you, and it's going to be exciting to hear the report.